hung a left and was on the way towards his customers. Lenny puffed on his cigar as the old Ford got up to speed. His first customer was just a mile and a half down the road. The state plows had been out, but the conditions were already worsening. That sugar snow kept stacking up, and those big boys would be working until morning. He reached over and grabbed the mug of coffee. It was a travel mug, stainless steel, a present from his daughter this past Christmas when she was home from college. He took a sip, relishing the flavor, silently thanking his wife for getting up so early to make it. Mary knew how to make coffee. They'd been married for almost 40 years. Their eldest was a son, Francis. Francis went by the name Frank. Frank was older than Shailene, the college student, by 3 years. Aside from these basic facts, Lenny didn't like to think about his son all that much. At least he knew where the boy was. County jail was only a few miles away. Lenny was trying to avoid thinking about Frank any further, holding the coffee in one hand, the smoldering cigar in his teeth, windshield wipers drifting back and forth to sluice away that grainy snow, when he saw the shape in the middle of the road. He set the coffee in the holder and immediately began to slow down. Up ahead, smack in the center of 9N, near one of the few street lamps, a dark lump lay in his path. Lenny's gaze shifted to the rearview mirror. No one was behind him. He looked out the driver's side window and saw only darkness. Few people lived on this stretch of 9N. Street lights were staggered here and there as you neared the intersection of Pike and Main in the small town proper, but that was it. He came to a complete stop. He set the cigar in the ashtray, thought better of it, and then stubbed it out. He kept his eyes on the lump. A fresh eddy of snow and wind churned up 9N towards the truck, dusting the shape on the road. Someone hit a deer, he figured. They hit it and just moved on. It happened all the time. The storm was supposed to continue into the next day. The farmer's almanac had predicted a cold winter, and it had been, with the temperature hovering around zero or below for weeks at a time. The wood stove in Lenny's home had been crackling nonstop since December, and it was now mid-February. Lenny was proud to have heeded the almanac and bought 2 extra cords of firewood. Other folks were running out already, but he had enough to last until spring. Whatever it was lying there in the road would soon be frozen, rock solid, if it wasn't already. Someone could slam right into it, sending them swerving off the road and into the trees. "Damn it," he swore. The truck was just starting to get warm, and now he had to go out into the cold. He reached around in the seat beside him and found his gloves. He pulled them on and tried to ignore his escalating pulse. Not much riled Lenny, but something about the way that shape looked, now that he was closer to it, moiled the coffee in his stomach. He didn't think it was a deer. Not really. He opened the door and lowered himself out of the Ford, grunting as he went. He slammed the door shut. The sound was swallowed up by the blanket of snow. To his right, an impenetrable tree line of pines and spruce. To his left, an empty field with trees set far back. Wild forests covered a lot of this region. The land was passed down generation to generation. His mother had given birth to him 60 years ago in his parents' home up on Rabideau Way, a sprawling 50-acre farm that his father had inherited from his own father. Granddad had come down from Canada as a young man and worked the woods by torchlight, alongside the Scots and Irish and Dutch who first logged the region in the late 1800s. This was how New Brighton was first settled. Many properties were over 100 acres apiece. That unholy cop John Swift had a sizable plot too, not far away, handed down by his own grandfather. Lenny looked further down 9N. He could see the first house there in the distance, a little white double wide with smoke spewing from the chimney, maybe 200 yards away. The Hamiltons were an elderly couple in their 70s. He had some sort of dementia. She was a cat fanatic and into those little figurines you put everywhere in your home until it looked like you'd been invaded. Lenny stepped in front of the Ford. The headlights beamed over the plow and into the falling snow. The shape was motionless, sprawled right across the center line. Dead. You just knew when something was dead. The stillness of it was unlike anything else, even a rock. It was more than stillness. It was an absence. It was something heavy, pressing on your chest.